Tonight, we're going to be talking about the education program in the church, in the local congregation, its value, its importance. But let me start out by telling you, not everybody has what you have. Not everybody has what your children have. A number of years ago, I was teaching elementary school, and I was teaching at a Tuscaloosa County Schools alternative school program. And in that classroom, there was a teacher's aide that was in there to assist me. And I feel like I assisted her probably more than she assisted me. But she had her desk close to the front of the room, and my desk was in the back of the room, and we were just conversing one day, and she was a real religious lady. So some of our conversations kind of got toward religion and church and that kind of thing. And I remember one day as we were talking, there was a little first grade boy who was sitting off to the side in the classroom, and I can see him standing by his desk. And he got my attention, and he asked this question. He said, "What is church? What is church?" Not what is the church, or what is the church that you're a member of, or anything like that. That gets very specific. I mean, even in extremely general terms, no concept. What is church? Not everybody has what you have. Not everybody has what your children have somewhere in this building right now. I wanted to begin by looking at two passages, okay? The first one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let me read these words for you. The Bible says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." The next one is found in James chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." I didn't have much of an idea about what my destiny was going to include. I didn't have any idea really what I'd be facing. If you tried to have a conversation with that little boy that went into Sister Leon Kazire's Bible class at the Northport Church of Christ, he'd have no idea what life had in front of him. He had no idea all those moments that he would have in front of him. For him, it was just crayons and snacks and Bible class stories. and being with your friends and a very sweet lady as your Bible class teacher. I had no idea. I had no idea of the moments that was in front of me. But I figure she knew. I figure she had a pretty good idea what was waiting on me as I would progress through life. She had a lot of wisdom and a lot of understanding. And Bible class teachers like her saw a purpose in helping to prepare us for those moments that would come our way. Somewhere in this building right now, my 10-year-old daughter sits in a Bible class. Somebody that you know is standing as their teacher, as her teacher. My daughter don't know a whole lot about the moments that are to come. But that teacher does. And so she's doing all that she can to prepare my daughter and those students in that classroom for what's out there in front of them, even when they don't always see it. And those moments of life are pretty significant. Because somewhere there's a first moment. But then you know like I do, after that first moment comes, there are going to be many others. And I stand before you tonight, 46 years of age, realizing those moments hadn't stopped. And they keep on going. And elders in the church and Bible class teachers and leaders in the church have an enormous responsibility on their shoulders, because they understand the fact that for all of us who regularly fill this space, who come to this place, who are a part of our Bible class program, who are a part of the membership of this congregation and others like it, that every person that occupies a space in these pews, they have moments. For the 5 and 6 and 7 year old child, those moments are in their future. And they have no idea what those moments are going to be about, but they're coming. We sit in an adult class like this and we're struggling. We're living those moments. And we're understanding the fact they're not going away. There very well could be individuals in this auditorium right now who have lived these moments today. Maybe some of you passed. Maybe some of you failed. But you know those moments. We do all we can to prepare those in our influence for those moments that we know are coming. We teach. We educate. We plan. We try to be practical. We try to be understandable so that somewhere people are getting it, so that they're ready when the moments come. Because this isn't where we live. A lot of times we wish it was, but it's not. We come here in places like this on a relatively small scale percentage-wise of our lives. Really, pretty little of your week is spent here. We come here to worship. But in many ways, we come here to prepare for what's out there. For those moments that are waiting on us. Every one of these men were raised good. They were raised in good environments. They were taught well in view of the fact their moments were coming. Achan was just a Jew. Achan's about as average or a fella as you could imagine. Wasn't really anything great about him. When you look at the Bible describing Achan, it starts talking about his family among the children of Israel, and quickly you'll discover he's just pretty much a guy. Just a normal guy. One of the masses. Pew feller, we might call him. Dependable, there. Not a whole lot of greatness that would be ascribed to Achan, but I do know this, in one of the great moments in biblical history, he was there. Did you know that Achan was one of those fellas that marched around Jericho? You've sung about it in Bible classes since you were very young children, and walls came tumbling down. Achan was there. He was a marcher. Prior to those walls coming down, Achan, along with all of these Israelites that was heard in the voice of Joshua, heard a pretty specific instruction. In fact, it was basically the instruction they received right before the moment of impact, right before the team went on the field for the dramatic part of the game, so to speak. We're going to take this place. God's going to give us Jericho. But let's be clear. When you're going through this defeated Jericho, you don't take of the accursed things. And I'm going to take Achan back to his raising. I'm going to take Achan back to his training. Don't give him a pass. Don't give him an excuse. His education had been well served. There had been an emphasis placed on the law and on doing exactly what God would have them to do. He knew what happened when you disobeyed God. He knew the blessings that would come when you obeyed God. It was a part of his life. It was a part of the legacy of his people. Don't give Achan a pass. He knew. To put it in our language, he'd been in Bible classes since he was a small boy. He'd been at the knee of someone teaching and training him in the ways of the scriptures since he was young. But now he's grown. Now he's a marcher. And now he's about to have a moment. He's not sitting in our Bible classes anymore. He's not sitting at the knee of his parents anymore. He's living a moment. And everything that's brought him to this point, both good and bad, is going to dramatically affect the decision that he's about to make. I mean, he's there as Jericho crumbles at his feet. He's there as Jericho was handed to God's people. He's there as the victory is at hand. He's stepping over the rubble. What you've sung about and dreamed about and imagined and pictured since you were small children, he lived. And through it all, he's preparing for a moment. Then it happened. The accursed thing was at his hand. And he took them. And he went and buried those accursed things who had to look so good to his eye. He took them and he buried them in his tent. God was displeased. Israelites died. Achan's family suffered a horrible death because Achan faced a moment and he failed. Those ladies spread out in this building. The one that's unknown to me that's standing before my daughter right now. They don't know what those young people are going to do when the moments come. They don't know how they're going to handle it. But they do all they can to prepare them for the moment. I believe efforts were made with Achan. I believe family was concerned about him. His fellow Israelites were concerned about him. I don't believe he was missing out on training. But when the moment came and he had a choice to make, obey God or the appeal of this life, he made a choice and he failed. It's not because he wasn't informed. It's one because he wasn't prepared. It's because the moment came and he just didn't handle it well. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm comforted by that passage. Much of my comfort in that passage is based on the idea that what doesn't depart is the training. You're not going to guarantee success. You're not going to guarantee that every person is going to be faithful and true to God. The guarantee is you bring them up, Bible classes, the home, your education program, you train them in the way they should go, and when they're old, they're not going to depart from the training. The training's going to be there. Sister Leon Kazire knew it. I didn't. I was living it, not having any idea what was in front of me. But through it all, I'm being prepared a little bit at a time for those future moments that would be a part of Clark Sims' destiny. Have you been there? Has someone cared enough about you and loved you enough to prepare you for moments that you had no idea were coming? And you look back today and you're thankful for that Bible class teacher. And you're thankful for that eldership who made possible those classes that you were a part of. You're thankful for people who took you to the pages of the Word of God because they knew your moments were coming, even when you didn't. I have a hard time comprehending what could have been going on in Joseph's mind. Really. I mean, he's young enough that if he's here, he's down here in the front somewhere. He's not sitting back there with his wife or his children. He is young. We're basically introduced to his dedication and commitment when he's 17 years of age. But he's about to go through some stuff. And it's not easy. His brothers turn on him. He faces captivity. He faces bondage. How he's alive is hard to imagine. What's going on in his head, that's where I struggle. And we find Joseph in the home of Potiphar, one of the most powerful men in all the land. And it was there in Potiphar's house that Joseph is about to have another moment. Potiphar's house, car on a dark road, movie theater. You can fit the place. Joseph's moment was not just his. A lot of us have faced that moment. Her words to Joseph were very clear: lie with me. These words come from the mouth of Potiphar's wife. We don't know much about her. We know her husband was very important, very powerful, very influential. The Bible doesn't give this information in great detail, but I've just always figured she's probably good looking, don't you think? And she's looking to this young man and she's saying, lie with me. He's living a moment. Because everything about this world says, everything about his humanity says, everything about what's physically natural for him says, she says, lie with me, why don't I oblige? Everything earthly says that. But thankfully, somebody cared enough about Joseph over time to help him to be ready for this moment. Not to make the decision for him, but to give him every bit of information that he needed, everything he needed to know about God Almighty, everything he needed to know about a commitment and a dedication to God, everything that he needed to be taught, prayers, service, dedication, seeing it in the example of people that he knew and he loved and he cared about, being taught at the knee of someone who was really genuinely interested in Joseph's well-being. Thanks be to God, somebody, somewhere prepared him for this moment, because everything earthly about this moment says, give in, boy. countless people have lived this moment and failed miserably. There might even be religious people out there who would look at Joseph's moment and try to make excuses for how difficult it was for him to resist. But the moment came and Joseph was ready. He was prepared. This is what came out of his mouth. How can I commit this great wickedness and sin against God? Leon Kazire would be beaming. One of my boys who had no idea what he was facing lived his moment and he was ready. Time spent with that project was not wasted. Time spent with that young man was valuable. Because when his moment came, he was ready. God bless us with young men like Joseph. God bless us with Bible teachers who will prepare young men like Joseph. Because we're limited. We're very limited. There ain't anything you can do to stop the moments from coming. They're going to happen. They just are. You can't hold on to them so tight at 5 and 7 and 12. They're not going to escape the moments. Our responsibility is to prepare them the best that we can so that they're ready when the moments come. I don't know if you realize this. It's not usually the kind of thing we think about a lot. But Jesus faced a moment. Did you know that? And every bit of your eternal destiny was absolutely hanging in the balance. It's bad that Achan failed in his moment. And it's beautiful that Joseph passed in his moment. And people were influenced and people were impacted because of the decisions that they made and how they handled their moments. But don't kid yourself, they don't compare with the moment that Jesus faced in Matthew chapter 4. Because when Jesus faced his moment in Matthew chapter 4, everything about your future was hanging in the balance. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all manner as we are, yet without sin. What does that tell us? That tells us he could have done it. If there's not a possibility of sin, then there's not temptation. He could have done it. And frankly, everything was set up in Matthew chapter 4 perfectly for Satan to get rid of all of us with one fatal swoop. It was totally set up. Jesus had heard the words of his Father as he had been baptized. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus hits the wilderness. He hits his ministry. It's time to go. All that preparation for these moments. He's knocking down the doors of our Bible classes. Not in the cradle roll anymore. Not in the first and second grade class anymore. Not the teen class anymore. Not in the college group. He's 30 years old. He's out. Still needs support. Shoulders to lean on and things of that nature. But he's living some moments. He lived them before. But Matthew chapter 4 is tough. Fasting for 40 days. Satan has him right where he wants him. Satan couldn't have drawn up a moment any better than this one. And by the way, I remind you that this was not Satan's first rodeo. He knows all about our moments. He knows exactly what buttons to push with every single one of us. He knows what to do to put us in a vulnerable position with every moment that comes our way. And that was the case with Jesus in Matthew 4. The Bible records for us three specific temptations that Satan presented to your Savior with your soul hanging in the balance. Jesus fails this moment, you don't have a shot. I mean, it's over. And these temptations were good. They were appealing to the eye. They were appealing to humanity. Jesus is right in the midst of a moment. And we ask the question, what's he going to do? How's he going to handle this moment? The Bible tells us exactly how he handled this moment all three times. He responded to the alluring, enticing, appealing temptation with a response based on these words, "It is written." Now, I'm going to encourage you to be real careful here. And this is a tough sledding for Bible students. Because it's hard for us to get past the fact that we're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about deity. And I don't mean to minimize that at all. But if you take the humanity of Jesus out of Matthew 4, you miss the story. He's not a robot. Every decision is not automatic. Don't kid yourself. He could sin here. If that's not the case, he's not being tempted. He could sin here. And yet he bows up in response to appealing temptation in a pressurized moment It is written. Give him credit. And rightly so. But don't shortchange or minimize every person that was a part of the development and life of Jesus of Nazareth that got him ready for this moment. It is written. Is not trivial. It is written is not casual. It is written is somebody working hard to prepare everyone that comes across their path to be ready for their moments. I have to say, I sure am better prepared for the moments that I face even today if the first words out of my mouth could be, it is written. You have a hard job. You're working 40 plus hours in a week, and you love your children, you love your family, you love your grandchildren. You got a lot on your plate, and your life can be considered quite full and quite busy. Without somebody adding something else to that plate. Teaching a Bible class takes time. And it takes effort. I'm going to challenge you tonight to value the opportunities you have and that you have had. To influence those who cross your path. We need those special ladies that walk into the presence of 2 and 3 year olds and teach their Bible class. And we need those who will stand before our teens. And we need those that'll break out a podium and teach an adult Bible class. Because we all face moments. We need to do everything we can to equip not only ourselves, but those in our influence to be ready when those moments come. VBS, Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible classes. Our methods are different as we go from age to age. The material we study is varied. Our coverage of the scripture takes significant time. Some use PowerPoint, some use puppets. And everything in between. But it's all about a singular purpose. The moment is coming. Let's think about that. Thank y'all.